Sports.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Monday to you. The final time I'm going to say that in 2024, because we're just a couple days away here from 2025. So welcome into the program. Hope that you're having a great morning. If not, we'll do what we can to try to make it one. But it's been also a pretty damp morning already with rain on the way. So we'll have your ABC 6 forecast coming up for you a little bit. Just didn't get it edited and into the system in time, but we'll get it up for you in a little bit. Phil Devitt is out again today. He should be back tomorrow, though. He sent me a text last night, said he's feeling better, but he just, you know, wasn't ready to come in to do the news today, but he'll be with us tomorrow. And, of course, on New Year's Day, nobody will be here. We're going to have syndicated network programming for you on the 1st, and then back with a regular full slate on the 2nd. But Barry will be back today. He's got some articles for you to check out today at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And also today on our Facebook page, we're going to be sharing some of the past articles that Barry wrote about the now late President Jimmy Carter, who passed away over the weekend and who had lived to 100 years old. He is the oldest He was the oldest living former president, and someone who certainly is much more revered for his time as a former president than during his time as a president, and proof that you can use that position to elevate your efforts beyond that. So, you know, he was somebody who could have gone out and made millions to speak at colleges and to speak at different organizations and all that. You know how presidents get paid a tidy sum for that. But instead, he chose to spend all of his time focusing on his humanitarian efforts and also writing books. That's kind of how he made his post-presidency living. He wrote 30 books. But he was someone who showed that, you know, you can use that position to advance something for the greater good and kind of set the blueprint for what former presidents can and should do. I mean, obviously you have situations where, you know, Ronald Reagan was not well when he left office and also quite elderly at the time. And obviously Joe Biden is quite elderly at the time. So I don't think you're going to see much of him as a former president coming up in a couple of weeks. But certainly we've seen the efforts that that Bill Clinton did in his time after office, especially when he started working bipartisanly with former President George H.W. Bush on hurricane relief and other issues. But some choose a more quieter life, like George W. Bush has, where he's just retired to his ranch and spends his time painting. And he is a fantastic painter, if you've ever seen his work. So we'll take your Jimmy Carter memories, if you would like to call in with those, 508-996-0500. You can also send them on the app chat or record them on the open line voicemail feature on the WBSM app. We also have the a local passing as well, which, while I don't want to equate the passing of a president with the passing of an animal, but Ruth the elephant was beloved here in the city of New Bedford and all across the South Coast. And Ruth passed away on Friday at the age of 66. We had caught word that they had set up some tents around the elephant area Friday afternoon. And I reached out to the zoo, and I was actually out in the evening, so I wasn't really checking my phone. But I got a response from the zoo that said, you know, we'll have a press release at 9 a.m. on Saturday. And then they put out the release that that Ruth had passed. So we, of course, can take your memories of Ruth the elephant. And now the zoo has already made the statement that when now Emily passes away, the other of the two Asian elephants, they would not have elephants anymore at the Buttonwood Park Zoo. And Emily is, I think she's 62, if I remember correctly. So she is also far outlived the life expectancy of a female Asian elephant. And the other part of that, too, is elephants are very communal creatures. And, you know, they're going to have to keep a close eye on her now because she is going to feel this loss. And so with that in mind, they're actually giving the zoo employees and Emily a time period to mourn the loss of Ruth. Because elephants, I guess, do feel grief the same way that humans do. So according to the zoo is going to remain closed until January 2nd. I'm sorry, Emily is 60 years old. So this will be a time period for them to kind of mourn her loss. And certainly if you want to share your Ruth memories, I'll be honest with you. I went to the zoo a number of times with my son when he was young, and I wasn't sure who was who, which was which. But I thought that it was a pretty special thing to be able to see elephants right here in New Bedford. And I know, you know, it's been controversial for some to have elephants here in captivity, but these elephants had always been in captivity. When I was a kid growing up, you know, my parents are from Randolph. So for them, you know, for local zoos, they would go to the Stone Zoo in Stoneham or the Franklin Park Zoo. And we went to the Stone Zoo quite often when I was a kid. And they had elephants. And that was always one of my favorite parts of going there, was seeing the elephants. And it was still a highlight, you know, as an adult going to Buttonwood Park. But now, you know, this is going to be the end of an era. Because as I mentioned, you know, when Emily passes, they won't have any more elephants at the zoo. And now the zoo has had a plan for a long time of renovating and upgrading some of the zoo facilities and bringing in different exhibits and things like that. So, and that elephant enclosure is a large area that could be utilized for other animals. So I understand why they want to make that decision. Also, having elephants here has been, you know, I'm sure not an easy thing to maintain. They're very large creatures, obviously. But they also became symbolic of that zoo. They were the star attraction. They were what everybody came to that zoo to see. So this is a sad day, but also not an unexpected day. You know, we announced over the summer that Ruth had entered hospice care. Well, the zoo announced it. We reported it. And so we knew it was just a matter of time. And for
the staff and the zookeepers and the caretakers and everybody over there at the zoo, it's probably helpful for them that they had a chance to, you know, begin mourning even before she had actually passed. You know, they could start that process. Because now their focus is going to have to be on caring for Emily and making sure that, you know, she lives out her final years as peacefully and healthy as she can. So, again, we'll take your memories of Ruth, of Jimmy Carter, of whatever else you'd like to discuss at 508-996-0500. Another topic I'd like to discuss this morning. I had the chance last night to be really the final people that did a paranormal investigation of the Oliver Estate in Middleborough. Now, you've heard me talk about this place for a number of years, and I hold this up as the example of how the paranormal world, the paranormal community, whatever you want to call it, helps to preserve local history. Because here was a home from the 1700s tied into the Revolutionary War that we know that Ben Franklin visited, because a pivotal moment in the Oliver family history is when Ben Franklin was either given or discovered letters in the Oliver Estate from Judge Peter Oliver to the British Crown, alerting the king to the colonists' rebellious activities. He was basically spying and sending the information back to the crown. And when the Sons of Liberty found out about this, they basically ruined Peter Oliver, Judge Peter Oliver's name and life. And there were other families that lived on the property over the years, and it fell into the hands of the town of Middleborough, and they let it just sit. They didn't, you know, there was no money, nothing to really invest in it, no future for it. And they were considering raising it at one point. They were just going to tear down this historic home because the land itself is probably pretty desirable. It's right on the side of Route 44, right across from the KOA campground. It's probably a spot that if the town wanted to sell it, there'd be a number of developers interested in buying it. If they wanted to zone it commercially, you know, every fast food franchise, every, you know, coffee shop franchise, I'm sure everybody would love to get that spot. And I'm sure that the KOA would love to have access to it because it's quite a piece of property that goes back into the woods. So there's a lot of, I know that the town started putting some other park space on the other side of it. But this was going to be, a place that was lost. And paranormal investigators started going there and checking it out. And although my friend Christy wasn't the first, she was the person that eventually took it over and really started the fundraising efforts and putting that money to use. And through her efforts, they were able to pretty much completely restore the house. Herself and a former selectman who donated a lot of furniture to make it a period era museum, they were able to make a place that people wanted to come and tour and spend time at. And they kept raising money and raising money. I think they replaced the roof. They replaced the shutters. They put indoor plumbing in when it didn't have any before. So now there's two functional bathrooms in there. And they just poured their heart and soul into the place and restored it to the place, to the point where now it's a working facility. And apparently the town of Middleborough has decided that it is going to now put the Oliver Estate out to bid for, well, they're going to look for RFPs. They're going to put out an RFP, a request for proposals for whoever wants to put in a proposal to utilize that space for whatever they want to use it for. But apparently they decided that, you know, what's been working now for 10 years and raising money for the refurbishing of that building, now they want more money, I guess. And so the rumors are that it would be something like for a doctor's office or an antique store or something like that. So the paranormal community is upset because here is a slap in the face. We're basically the people that refurbish this place for the town. And now they're pulling the rug out from everybody and saying, okay, hey, thanks for all that you did, but now we want to make more money off of this. So Christy was, you know, cleaning things out last night and kind of wrapping things up there. And so they opened it up over the course of the weekend for anybody who had been connected to the place to come and say goodbye. And so we were the last people in there with her and the last to investigate there. And I don't know what the future is going to hold, but I certainly want some answers from the town of Middleborough about why this is happening. And I reached out to the town administrator a while back and said, you know, I'd like to see the RFP. I'd like to find out what the thinking is behind this. And they said, you know, nothing has been released yet, but when things are released, I'm on the list to get that information. So we'll see what we can get. But I think that there's a bigger story here of, you know, somebody's got to answer to the question of why are you turning your back on the people who allowed you to keep this building? If not for them, this building wouldn't be there anymore. Christy's gotten it featured on numerous television shows and national figures, social media. It's mind-boggling that all this could go on and then to have the rug pulled out like this. And it's different than, say, the Lizzie Borden house, where you could say, you know, if all of a sudden that became a private residence and you're like, well, what? You know, people have been ghost hunting there for decades and look at what they were able to do with it. And now you're going to turn it into a home. No, that's different. That's a privately owned business. This is a place owned by the town. And this was a decision that was made, from my understanding, without the town's people being consulted. This wasn't put on a town meeting warrant, as far as I know, unless, you know, I just wasn't given that information. But this was something that the town leadership decided. The Board of Selectmen decided. So it's disheartening, and it's a story we're going to keep following for sure. 508-996-0500. App chat available for you on the WBSM app. Open line voicemails available on the WBSM app. Both those and all the features on the app brought to you by our friends at South Coast Towing. And we also have on the app, if you don't have it already, you can get live traffic and weather. So every morning when you wake up, obviously traffic's probably not too big of a concern today. Today, tomorrow, Wednesday, but Thursday when things start to get back to normal, you can open up the WBSM app every morning and check the traffic before you leave the house. You can open up the WBSM app and get the weather before you leave the house. You can set the alarm to wake you up with the WBSM app and you'll hear me, which will probably make you want to turn off the app and roll over and go back to bed. But you'll be able to hear all the WBSM programming over our live stream and over our podcast. It really is a great feature. So if you got a new phone, a new device, a new tablet, anything like that over the holidays, whether for Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate, then you're going to want to make sure that the WBSM app is something that you have downloaded and installed on that device. Because it allows you to listen to us anywhere in the world and access all of our content anywhere in the world. And you can even read the article I wrote on Friday about a new snack on the South Coast. And not new per se, but probably new to a lot of people. Musubi And you can read all about that at WBSM.com and on the app. But it's a handheld rice and Spam sandwich, for lack of a better term, that is very cheap, very filling, very delicious, and something that I'm sure it's only a matter of time before somebody comes up with a Portuguese version of it. Because you know how we have, you know, poutine became popular and then people started making Portuguese and New Bedford poutine. You know, the loaded fries have become Mozambique fries. I mean, we can adapt anything to some of the Portuguese recipes and flavors, and this might be the next thing. But enjoy it in all its original Hawaiian glory at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. But I'm going to take a break right now. We'll be back in a few moments.
At your side, tell me you love me for a million years. Then if it don't work out, then if it don't work out, then you can tell me goodbye. Sweeten my coffee with a morning kiss. Soften my dreams with your sigh. Tell me you love me for a million years. Then if it don't work out, then if it don't work out, then you can tell me goodbye.
That's my favorite love song of all time, I think. That's just give me a million years. And if it doesn't work out after a million years, then you can tell me goodbye. And somebody's probably going to get sick of me over a million years. People get sick of me over the course of 3 hours each morning. So speaking of millions, and more like hundreds of millions, there was one person who was the winner of the Powerball jackpot over the weekend. Right, was that? It was a Powerball or Mega Millions? I don't know. Whichever one it was. And they won. The jackpot was over $1 billion, but their cash option was like $550 million. And then, you know, the question becomes, well, if you won, would you take the long-term payout or would you take the cash option? And I think it all kind of depends on your age, right? If you think you've got 20 years in you, take the long-term option. If you think that, you don't have that much time, then take the cash option. But I remember, you know, all the shows that I did with Jose Matos, he always said, you take the long-term option. Because otherwise, you're just leaving money on the table. And if they're going to give you $1 billion, you know, paid out over 20 years, and let's just say, you know, I don't know, let's just say that after taxes and everything, you come away with, I don't know, 100 million. No, what would, I don't know what it would be per year, but whatever. Let's say you end up with $50 million a year. As Jose always said, $50 million a year is more money than you've ever had in your life and more money than you actually need. And if you blow through $50 million in a year and you're waiting for your next annuity of $50 million, you are doing it wrong. Because you want to set it up, first of all, you want to set it up so that you are using that money to make more money so you never have to touch that money to begin with. But you want to make sure that you are setting it up so that you are perpetually earning something without, you know, hopefully without having to work. But you don't want to just be depleting the bank account without putting more money into it. And that's where people falter. When they have lottery winnings, is they just spend without reinvesting any of that money. And then they eventually run out of money. And I know people who have won significant jackpots who bought a house, bought cars, paid for the kids' college, but now they're, you know, 25 years out from their winnings, and yeah, they've got their house. Their kids have a college education. They don't have any student loan debt, but they don't have anything else to show for with their winnings because they spent it on things that were temporary. Vacations, even cars. You know, unless you bought yourself a nice classic car that you kept up with and that you babied and only drove, you know, on the weekends and in parades and stuff, you really probably don't have the cars that you bought. If you won the lottery in 1996 and went out and bought yourself a 1996 Porsche, you're probably not still driving it today. So the problem is that people don't, they don't have the forward thinking enough to utilize that. And that's why you don't have generational wealth that comes out of people who are big lottery winners. And I mentioned the lottery, so we've got Mary calling in. Good morning, Mary. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm all right. So did you happen to fly out to Florida and buy a ticket? California to buy a ticket, and you're actually the winner? Is that?
I wish that were true.
Okay. I'm sorry.
But I'll tell you deep down, really, if I just thought of it, you know, if I did win that money, I would use a lot of it traveling the world, trying to do the best I could to shut down all zoos. You know how I feel about that. Now, an icon is gone, Ruth is gone, and if you think for 1 minute that those elephants at the Buttonwood Zoo or any zoo had enough room, you're wrong. They didn't have nowhere near enough room to live their life the way they should have. One day, a long time ago, some smartass decided, let's make a zoo. Let's go kidnap animals out of their natural habitat, rip them away from their families, and lock them in the zoo. And let's make a lot of money letting people come and see these animals. There's only one good thing to say, that Ruth is out of her misery. She's out of her pain. And now Emily's next. And I even hate to see that coming. But it's coming.
Well, eventually, yeah.
How do you feel about that?
She could still have many, many years left, but obviously at 60 years old, she's already outlived the life expectancy of an elephant.
A miserable life.
So
You need to have someone on your show from the Friends of the Buttonwood Zoo, because they came out over the weekend with comments about that zoo. Mm-hmm. And about how miserable those elephants really were and the treatment they were really getting. Listen, how often did you, Mr. Weisberg, go to that zoo to see any animal? Well, Nobody goes there every single day. A lot of times there was no one there.
I don't go there every day, but I have a membership. So I go now and then and just take a walk around.
That's nice. But I hardly think that's worth having a zoo. Because a lot of times there was no one there. During the day, people go to work, kids are in school. They might go once in a while. Those animals were trapped, and that never should have happened, never. I cursed the person that first thought of that idea of locking up animals and ripping them away from their families. It's not right. They ought to lock up human beings in cages and put them in a zoo. Laughing hyena. Put Kamala in a zoo in a cage. Put the Obamas in a cage and the Clintons. Put them all in a cage. People deserve to be in cages, not animals.
So, I mean, zoos have been around since, what, ancient Egypt times?
So what?
I'm just saying it's been something that people have always done. They've always captured animals and kept them in captivity.
I'll tell you, had I come into that money, I would make it my life's mission. As long as I could live, I'd be going everywhere with that money. Starting the biggest protests you've ever seen everywhere around the world.
So what about the animal research that they're able to do with having these animals in captivity and being able to study them and help the ones that are in the wild?
Come on, give the monkeys a break too, okay? Even the rats. They're on this earth for a reason. We're all here for some reason.
Are there rats in the zoo?
No matter what animal, no matter what human. It's done already. It's old. We need to close all the zoos.
Well, hey,
you want to see the animals? Go to a safari. Go over there.
You love your cat, and at some point, somebody in human history said, let's bring these cats indoors and make them live inside.
I knew you were going to say that.
I'm just saying.
I didn't cause that. At least I gave her a nice place to live with me. No, it's not a mansion. No, it's not so beautiful here, but she's getting the love and care she deserves. She's not being locked up in a cage in a zoo.
But I don't think that the animals that are in the zoo are loved and cared for.
I don't believe that.
I mean, you just have to go over there and watch when they're taking care of them.
Maybe not all the workers are there that are mean or rotten. Come on, those elephants. You see the size of the Buttonwood Park? Well, even if the whole park had no walking area, no flowers, statues, nothing there, but the whole entire Buttonwood Park was complete big size zoo, it still wouldn't be enough.
Well, but you're talking about whether or not the habitat is enough for them is different than, you know, having them be mistreated. You're talking about them being mistreated. I don't think that's been going on there.
Locked up. Not only mistreated, but locked away from their natural place of birth where they were meant to be.
Well, a lot of the animals there are native to the area, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
they have
bobcats and they have birds that are native to the area. They have things that are also local.
I knew you weren't going to agree with me. I know that because it's your job to go against me. It's good, you know. It's good radio.
I don't agree with you. I don't see an issue with zoos.
You agree with me that elephants should be locked up in a zoo?
Those elephants were born in captivity. Do I think we should go out and capture new elephants and bring them into zoos? No. But if you have zoos that are, if you have elephants that have been in captivity, they have to stay in captivity. They're not gonna be able to go back out into the wild.
You're missing the point. They never should have came here, period. You're missing it.
They were already captive when they came here.
What are you talking about?
They didn't go capture go to Asia and bring two elephants from Asia and bring them here. They were born in captivity.
Which they didn't belong here. How did they get here? How did their parents get here?
Well, it's not the Buttonwood Zoo's fault that they were born in captivity.
Where did those elephants come from? Where?
Hold on, because it's in the story of where they came from.
I'm sure they didn't originate in New Bedford, Massachusetts.
Ruth came from Benson's Animal Farm.
Okay, and where did they get her?
It doesn't say.
Of course, though. But, you know, they didn't get it from New York. They didn't get it from California. And look at the big San Diego Zoo. I always wanted to go there when I was younger. But now since I woke up about all this big travesty, no. No, they shouldn't be. There should be no zoos. Because in order for you to have a zoo, you'd have to go get those animals from where they originated from. And it's wrong.
So you're upset about the elephants being kept in the zoo, but what are you going to have for breakfast this morning?
How would you like somebody to kidnap you and throw you
How would you like somebody to keep you in a pen all day just so they can slit your throat and kill you so that Mary can fry you up for bacon?
In the Serengeti. Capture you, drag you down to the Serengeti, and throw you out in the middle of the
You can't call how in every like day that? And talk about how people should only eat meat but then get upset because there's a zoo where people can look at animals.
They don't have to listen to me. They don't have to eat just meat.
The zoos don't have to listen to you either.
And there's nothing wrong with meat and eggs. That's how the cavemen lived. And if they didn't survive, we wouldn't be here today. You keep knocking me down, but I know you agree with me. You do. Yes, you do.
I literally just told you I'm a zoo member. Why would I agree? Why would I be a zoo member if I agreed with you?
You're a zoo member because you're a sadist. You want to go see those animals like that locked up. Yeah. So, thank you for the call today,
okay.
Mr. Weinberg.
You have a good day.
Happy New Year.
Enjoy Bye. Whatever animal you're eating this morning.
Yeah, well, thank you. Bye.
Have a good day. All right. I got to take a break. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. And of course, we don't advocate shocking the monkeys. No. But if you have the monkeys, in the monkey house at the zoo, that's different. But don't, yeah, please don't shock the monkey. The interesting thing, so I'd be interested in hearing people's thoughts on zoos in general at 508-996-0500. You know, as I mentioned, you know, the idea of a royal menagerie goes back to ancient Egypt times where they would, as they went out on these expeditions, they would bring back these exotic animals and collect them for the royal court. And then in the 1800s, they really became more prominent with the London Zoo. And then, of course, here in the United States, the San Diego Zoo is probably the most famous. But the National Zoo in Washington, D.C. is also pretty impressive. I've been there a few times. And I never looked at zoos. And believe me, I'm an animal lover. And I think we should leave wild animals wild for the most part. But I never looked at zoos as being a negative if the animals are well treated and well cared for. Obviously, there's situations like circuses where they were forcing animals to perform and would, you know, coerce them into performing in various different ways where they weren't treating them properly. That being said, you know, there was a lot of controversy over Ringling Brothers, but I knew the person who was the elephant trainer for Ringling Brothers, and he said that those elephants were treated better than the people were. And he said the people were treated pretty well. So they knew that the animals were, you know, I guess, special. And so they treated the animals as such, at least in his time. And this would have been the 90s, early 2000s that I knew him. So I don't know if things changed after his time there. But he talked about how, you know, there were other zoos, I mean, other circuses that gave circuses like Ringling Brothers a bad name. And certainly we saw a lot of those smaller, independently owned circuses that were abusing their animals. And so, yeah, by right, they should have been shut down and told they can't have animals anymore. And that, unfortunately, led to the same thing with Ringling Brothers, but Ringling Brothers is back without the animals and still putting on a great show. But I've never, as long as the animals are cared for, I've never had a problem with a zoo. And that's why I support the zoo and I'm a member of the zoo so that they can continue to be able to take care of the animals. But I'd be interested in getting your thoughts. 508-996-0500. Going to take a final break for this hour. One thing.